It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. Welcome back, everybody. We have Jason Young with us this week, man. It's been a minute. It's been like, I don't know, what, 5-6 weeks?
It has been a while, man. Just a combination of life and work has gotten in the way.
It's okay if you just want to blame work.
I'm very thankful right now that my health this year has kind of continued to improve, and I've been able to do a lot more things. So I've been spending a lot of time in the woods and, you know, camping out with the wife and, you know, four-wheel driving in the North Georgia mountains. So, you know, I've been working hard, but I've been playing hard as well. So it's been pretty rewarding.
Work soft, play hard.
Well, you know, for four or five guys, it is really hard. Only one of us actually has kids that are like, you know, little, I think, and or youngish. And man, it just seems family, work, all this stuff. It's hard for us to. I don't think we've all been on a single podcast in like I don't know, forever. It seems like forever, but anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't even been on one with Josh yet.
Oh yeah, that's right. You haven't. You guys have never been on the same podcast at the same time. You may be the same person, except for the fact that I've known Josh since like 1994 or something. So,
one of you is Spider-Man, and one of you is J.J. Jameson.
There you go. Well, let's see. So, since the last time we talked, there was a little device that came out called the AirPods Pro. I know I have some. I know you have some, Jason. Did you take the plunge on that, Brad?
I have not. Since I've heard all the word about the... I don't want to bury the lead, but since I've heard all the word about the tips, you know, the rubber tips, this, that, and the other, I've held off.
I know Jim took the plunge too. I think he took the plunge before any of us, and I think we weren't going to do it. Myself and Jason had said we weren't going to do it. I have a unique story about mine, which is going to sound really stupid, but I'll tell it in a minute. Jason, what was your driving factor to go ahead and get the AirPods Pro?
Peer pressure. No, I'm just kidding. I've got the AirPods 2, and my puppy had kind of gnawed pretty badly on the left AirPod, and so it looks pretty terrible, but it still sounds good and works. But I was like, all right, this can be my justification.
Looks like a chewed up pencil.
Yeah, so you know, I had said I wasn't going to get them, and then sure enough, on launch day, I opened the Apple Store app on the iPhone. It was like, come to Avalon and get them now. So I did. Went and got them. They sound awesome. The noise canceling is fantastic. I've read a lot of people saying that, you know, they think they're better than the Bose or the Sony. I didn't have the devices back-to-back to be able to test. They were really, really, really good, but I'm not sure that they were better than the, you know, over-the-ears. I ended up returning mine after about 10 days. I just couldn't get a comfortable fit. No matter what tip and what ear, it didn't pass the sound test. So I was getting, you know, the failed sound tests. They were okay if I wasn't moving, but I like to, you know, listen to audible books at lunch. And so, you know, when you're eating lunch, your jaw's moving, and I couldn't get a fit that was, you know, comfortable. And when my jaw would move, or even like if I was just talking on a conference call, the AirPods would pop out of my ear, which kind of defeats the purpose there. So the quality was outstanding, from a listening to music, listening to movies, podcasts. I mean, I am very, very impressed with what they came out with, but I just I couldn't find them comfortable, and for that kind of money, they had to go back.
So I had the opposite experience. I hadn't planned on buying these. I really planned on sticking with what I said, but I sort of felt the lure of that as well. But for me, I had to go to San Diego a couple of weeks ago for a vendor conference, and I was going to have to take a red eye back. And I don't do well with red eyes, much like probably just about at least 75% of the people on this podcast. I use a CPAP.
Most people.
To sleep. Yes. I need a CPAP to sleep properly. Like if I sleep on a plane, I am a mess. So what I really wanted to do when I booked the stupid red eye was I got a window seat, and I just sort of wanted to lean my head into the bulkhead and just sort of sleep. With the over-the-ear Sonys, they are great noise-canceling headphones, which I have some opinions on the quality of the two in just a second, but I can't really sleep with them on, because your head will not, and you can't push them back. The way they're designed, if you turn them to the side so that they're sort of offset on your head, it's just they fall off. They don't cover the ears. The noise canceling doesn't work, and it sort of defeats the purpose. So yes, I bought these as a very expensive sleep aid. That was the justification to myself for going and doing this. So I picked them up on, I think it was Halloween. I got a pair. My wife was off work that day. I was working from home, did the same thing, ran over to the Apple Store perimeter, picked them up, brought them back. And I was in such a hurry. I was packing, doing all this stuff. I didn't do the noise test because I really didn't have time. I had other stuff going on. I'm like, you know what? I'll deal with that when I get back. How bad could it be? And honestly, I wish I had done the test, because what I discovered when I came back was that one of my ear canals is smaller than the other. So I have like a medium in my left ear and a small in the right ear, I think, is the way what I have it. Before I could get the sound test to pass. I have not had the experience with the tips falling out, but I had one unexpected, really great use case. I'm at this conference. I have hundreds of people around me that are talking at normal volume. So my wife calls. I needed to talk to her for a moment. So I step away, pop them in, put in the noise canceling, and I was able to have a normal conversation at normal volume with the noise canceling on, and it worked perfectly. Like, it was like no one else was around.
They are super impressive that way.
They really are good. That was the thing that kind of surprised me. I really did not expect them to be great. You know, I mean, usually Apple's earphones and AirPods and things, they're good, but they're good enough. Usually it's for the price point, they offer a pretty good product. So I had sort of low expectations, and this was before I did the ear tip test. I probably could have gotten better performance if I had done that, but I was able to have a phone call, normal volume, and it was wonderful. It did work well on the plane. It did do the noise canceling. It was a 4-hour flight, I think it was, and these are about 4.5, I guess, is what they're supposedly for. So I really only needed about 3 hours, 45 minutes of, you know, I popped a couple of, essentially, Benadryl, and put on my eyebra and rested my head on the headrest, and didn't sleep so much as I went into a trance with snoring. I woke up, my seatmate next to me in the middle seat was face down on the tray table, so I don't know. She couldn't sleep upright, I guess. I don't know if I was causing a problem or what, but still not a comfortable experience, but they worked pretty well. Now I only carry those around. It's the Gen 2 AirPods that I have as well. I have 4 pairs of AirPods now. This is ridiculous. I didn't mean to do this. I didn't mean to end up with that, but now I have a pair that's on my nightstand that I use to watch TV in the bedroom. I have one that's in my car for working out. I have one that's just kind of floating around. I don't even know what I'm doing with that. And then I have the Pro.
Want to sell just a left?
they got to come as a pair, man.
No, I think I can get it replaced at an Apple Store. I think it's like $59 for one side.
Yeah, $59 is all it is. It is nice to always have a charged pair of AirPods no matter where I go. That's kind of nice. But it's been great. It's been I use the Pros quite a bit. I use them at work. It's nice to know that I can carry noise-canceling headphones with me everywhere I go. I came this close back in August to buying the in-the-ear Sony equivalent of those. I'm glad that I didn't, because I didn't. After we got the AirPod Gen 2 in March of this year, I didn't think we were getting another set of AirPods this year. So, you know, I kind of came close to doing that, but I really don't need my over-the-ear Sonys all that often. I mean, I guess if I'm flying and I want to stay awake and watch stuff, like, you know, from here to California, let's say, I would probably use the over-the-ears, but I don't even know that I really need that, to be honest.
So here's a future claim fodder kind of prediction thing. What do you guys think moving forward? Will there be another iteration of AirPods 2 in that form factor, or is everything going to go AirPods Pro moving forward? Like, are they going to keep them as individual distinct products at different price points and have different feature sets?
I feel like there's going to be the separate products, solely because people don't necessarily need the noise canceling. They are distinct products as far as the form factor goes.
I think that they will, just by virtue of the fact that wearing noise canceling earphones, when you put them in, especially the in-the-ear model, they create sort of a an airtight effect. Whether or not you're using noise canceling, they fit differently. They feel differently. You can't hear yourself talk if you don't have like transparency mode or something like that, or if you're in the middle of a phone call, you can. But you get what I'm saying. Like, it's a different experience than just wearing normal AirPods. And that's going to be off-putting to some people. So I see them maintaining two separate product lines, I think.
And the fact that there's a $80 or $90 difference in price.
Well, if you guys see any Black Friday deals on the Powerbeats Pro, I think that's what I'm going to pick back up. I had a pair, ended up winning at the office a pair of Microsoft Surface headphones, so I couldn't justify having both at the same time. That and the Powerbeats wireless charging case is massive. Like it is. It's like putting a pet rock in your pocket, right? But they fit me great. They sound good. And I can actually exercise in those. So with me doing a lot more being outdoors and some hiking and whatnot, I think I need those for, more fitness activities and can use the AirPods for, conference calls and that kind of thing.
You know what my favorite thing about the AirPods are, when you mentioned the case, is the fact that even with a Pro iteration, they fit in that little change pocket of any pair of jeans that I have. So I shove them in there. That's where they live, and they're always with me wherever I go because most of the time I'm wearing jeans, and it's perfect. Like, that, to me, has been a game changer just because I always have them with me as a result of that, no matter where I am. Even around the house, I'll have them or have them in most of the time.
You call that a change pocket, but I feel like that's still your watch pocket as far as...
If this were 1840 and I had a pocket watch, yes.
A hundred years ago, and we were still carrying around... watches in our in that pocket.
True, but I've never owned a pocket watch, but I have owned AirPods, and I have had change. I used to keep change in there back when I still had physical money. I wish Jim were here. I would love to hear his experience with that, but we'll hit him up next time, I guess. Let's see. So HomePod. So as of 13.2, the HomePod got the ability to recognize distinct multiple users. Anybody else get that working?
Negative. I am so frustrated with HomeKit and HomePod in general. Like, iOS 13 has just been a big freaking mess. I ended up having to reconfigure a lot of my house just because of weird stuff that was going on. So I have a room called Kitchen, and then I have I had a HomePod in the kitchen. So if I would say, hey lady, turn off kitchen, she wouldn't do it for weeks after the iOS 13 upgrade. It like something screwed up home to where like it was seeing them as the same device or whatnot. So it wouldn't turn off my lights. I just realized yesterday our TV has just been randomly coming on and going off in the master bedroom. And Kate's like, I swear it's, the HomePod doing it. And I was like, that HomePod knows nothing about my Sony TV. Nothing. Okay, like there's no controller, there's no integration. But guess what? The master bedroom is called Master. And so I have a group called Master that is the overhead fan and two lamps. So if I say, hey lady, turn off Master, it turns that off. But the Apple TV that's connected to the Sony is listed as the Master Apple TV. So when I woke up this morning, I said, hey lady, turn on Master. The lights came on and the HDMI sent a signal to the Sony that powered the damn TV on. So now I figured that out. But like, I've had a HomePod since day one and none of this has happened. And then also after the iOS 13 upgrade, and it like totally screwed up my, HomeKit stuff, my front door stopped working. Right. So my Yale Assure, I ended up having to, remove the batteries, hard recycle it, and then rejoin it, like forcefully remove it from my home and then rejoin it back to the home to get my front door to work again. So, you asked about the dual voice. No, I haven't been able to get that to work for me and my wife, but, I didn't expect it with all the other troubles I've had.
Multiple voices has not worked for me either.
Oh, thank God. I thought it was just me. So I went through the process of trying to set my wife up on this, and I had to make her train Siri every time. To the point I should have just recorded her voice with the thing so I'd quit asking her. And I even went to the subreddit, and I'm seeing, oh, what I did was I reset both of my HomePods. I turned off Siri on all of my devices. I re-turned on the HomePods, did a reset on them, but don't train Siri yet. And then just went through this entire convoluted process, which I have done ad infinitum. It knows who I am. It does not know who she is. Now, the weird part about this, the thing that's really sort of annoying, and I think it may be related to this, is that she has her own iCloud account, but when it comes to signing into iTunes and those types of things, she uses my shared account. So we, you know, I don't have to buy purchases for her. I don't, because some things with home sharing don't work if you, you know, if they're in your family. So to circumvent that, it's like, well, why can't she just have all of my purchases? So sign in to iCloud for everything as yourself, but to iTunes and the App Store and all that, it's me. I suspect that's a problem because you can also add them to Apple TV. Well, when I added her to Apple TV, I just showed up twice because, again, I'm associated with purchases and all of that crap. So she may never be a user on the Apple TV, which is fine. But, you know, you'll go in and say, recognize her voice, and you'll train it, and then you'll go into home, and it goes, nope, she still can't do it. She's still not there. It's turned off. And then you'll turn it on again. She has to retrain it again. Like, it has been the biggest crap show. The other thing that I have is with HomeKit, you know, I talked about this frequently, I think, where one of the things I like to do, this should be so simple. I go walk the dog. And I have it set so that the Apple Watch, when you do a workout, triggers close the garage door. This is not rocket science. This is supposed to work as of 6.1, 13.2. Never works. Unless you set it up. When you set it up, it'll work for two or three times and then stop. It'll say that it's running, but never does anything. Not a thing. So last night, you know, I did this and I was like, start a workout, stop a workout, start a workout. And I could hear the garage closing. I'm like, all right, great. Today I go to walk my dog, nothing. So it works two or three times and then just stops. You know, it just works. It just works. No, it doesn't. It doesn't work. That's the problem. It doesn't work at all. This is my problem with modern day Apple. And this is what really makes me nervous about going forward is that the HomePod, for example, is powered entirely by Siri. There's no apps to install. There's literally, it is the dumbest device that they have in the sense that there's no buttons to push. There's nothing to pass it. It just has to do this one thing, which is recognize your voice and issue commands. And I swear to God, it is the dumbest device. It is dumber now than Siri was in 2011, I am convinced. When it first started, Siri was smarter than it is on the HomePod. I'll ask the HomePod things like, you know, how old is this actor? Or what day does this fall on? Or whatever. I can't help you here. And then I ask my phone, it gets it right. It's maddening.
Dude, that is absolutely maddening. Have you ever said, hey, lady, why are you so dumb? She actually has excuses.
Oh, great. Because Apple only hired the guy from Google who did the assistant like a year ago.
But so I don't get that right. If my phone is not doing on-phone processing and responses, then why am I getting any kind of a different... So if I'm being recorded and it's being uploaded and then a response is being formulated... Why is it not an identical experience on HomePod versus iPod or iPad or iPhone? Like, that just makes no sense.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, too, where if you ask something on the Apple TV that's not TV-related, there's a 50-50 chance it'll just go, I don't know, what are you asking me for? And then if you do it on your phone, it gets it right. You know, it makes no sense. It's all going back to the same place. Like, how does it not know...
Or we think it's device, going to the same to place. Say. Maybe they have separate clouds for
they devices. They probably do. I mean, that's fair. But still, it is just the... You can ask the same question on your watch, your phone, your HomePod, and your Apple TV, and you could get different responses.
And you get different responses. It's ridiculous. It very much is. It makes you want to, you know, drop one ecosystem and... go to another ecosystem, say go to the Amazon ecosystem or, you know, God forbid, something outside of those two, the Apple or the other one, I go to the Google ecosystem, I suppose.
So here's the other, like, super maddening thing too, right? Is if your HomePod doesn't know the answer and you can ask your phone... Your HomePod's going to take over when you say, hey, lady.
Yes, you have to manually press the button on the phone to get the answer, which is also stupid. Here's a thought. Since the phone is bonded to the HomePod, since they had this sort of symbiotic, parasitic, I don't know what you want to call it, relationship, if the HomePod doesn't
Parasitic's
know...
Parasitic's a good word.
Why doesn't the HomePod ask the phone for me? Like, and just, get the answer that way.
Or use the more intelligent device.
Yes. Somebody pointed the other day on Twitter that you could actually make your HomePod go into sort of an infinite loop. Nice, working in the title of the show into the thing, but the name of the podcast. But if you do, hey lady, have you ever, and then you just stop, it'll say, I don't understand what you mean by, and then it'll say, hey lady, and then it'll make your other devices start listening, and then they'll start asking each other, and it just goes into this infinite loop that you'll have to power off to get out of.
And then you go jump in your pool and kill yourself.
Then you become a Luddite and just start destroying all your technology. Oh. Yeah. So 13 is still a crap show. You know, the other thing that's kind of irritating is that you never know which release is actually going to, when you get a release of iOS, if it's going to be available for the HomePod or not. Like when 13.2.3 came out the other day, after 11 days after the last release, I go to the home app and I keep trying, nothing. It's bad that I have to go to Reddit and see, is this an update that's available for the HomePod? I know it's supposed to apply this stuff, but it only does it half the time if you leave it alone, if that. So I talked to my mother yesterday and she was like, were you doing something to our Apple TV? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, we came home from the doctor and we turned on the TV and it said it was in the middle of updating. Did you do that? I'm like, no, you had automatic updates. It finally worked for somebody for once. Wow, cool.
Yeah, so remember, for the longest time, you guys were like, man, automatic updates don't work for me on Apple TV. And I was like, it's been working for me. Automatic updates don't work for me anymore.
Nope.
So same devices that worked for the longest time don't work anymore.
There was a report that I read, like a sort of an insider thing, I guess on Twitter, where they were saying that engineers that once you get past a certain point, they never go back and fix the old bugs. Like no matter what you report, it's just like, oh, that's the way it's going to be forever. To this day, if I make a contact on my iPhone in iCloud, it never syncs back to my Mac ever. I'm sorry. No, I got that backwards. If I create a contact or update a contact on my Mac, it never syncs to my phone ever. I have to go in and do all of my stuff through iOS to get it to show up on my Mac. If I put it on my Mac, it stays on my Mac. Of course, iCloud Sync is on for everything. Doesn't matter. Never has worked ever in the history of ever for me.
I'm about to kill my working sync, but that it still works for me, funny enough.
You say that, but now.
And I know. Indeed, it's going to stop working as of right now.
It's going to go all McClunky on you. Speaking of McClunky, so did you guys get Disney Plus?
I did.
Yeah, I prepaid for 3 years, got my $3.99 a month or whatever.
I got my free Verizon version of Disney Plus for a year.
And I did the best of all of those scenarios where I paid for 3 years in advance and I got the Verizon deal. So I'm essentially signed up for 4 years and my grand total is $2.91 a month for 4 years for Disney Plus.
Awesome.
Nice.
The funny thing is that when you do that, they're like, oh, you can go ahead and prepay and still activate it. It'll be fine. When I go and check my expiration date, it still shows 2022, which is 3 years from last week. And it's like, no, it says it's supposed to pause your existing subscription, let the Verizon one take over. And then, so theoretically, it should say 2023. I even got an email from Disney saying, hey, we've got it all under control. You get your free year. We're going to pause your thing and then it'll kick up. And it still shows 2022.
Well, Disney Plus has its own set of problems. And we all know that.
God. So let me tell you about this. So I create this strong, unique password for Disney Plus. And I go ahead and I create it, my password manager. I log in through the website. Hey, there you go. It's stored. It's there. It's good. It takes the password, allegedly. Then you go to sign in on a device, any device, iOS, Roku, the web, doesn't matter. And it'll say, this is not the right password. It's like, I'm looking straight at it. It's the right. I manually typed it in. It's the right password. Nope, not the right password. So I have to click the forgot your password. They send you a one-time code in the email. I click it, I put in the code, I'm authenticated, I reset my password to the exact same thing, even cut and paste from the password manager in there. Okay, it's accepted, and it has never worked. That's a big problem across all of Disney's platforms. They're Marvel stuff, like the Marvel, when I go to buy comic books, or I go to Marvel Unlimited, same thing. I've had the same randomly generated password forever, and it never takes it. So I have to go get the one-time password, go put in the same password that I've always had that's a random, you know, cryptographic string or whatever, and still nothing. Like, I don't understand. That's something that's almost
unbelievable. Are they using the same broken password sort of service? They're not using something like OAuth or... So, you know, they've got some other thing that's been drained up.
Yeah, I'm guessing they have something proprietary to Disney that all of their services use. Because when you go to sign
I just say like, that because you said that the Marvel services do that too. So,
yeah,
maybe they're using the same, you know, back end password library or something, you know.
Yep. And it's not like I pick easy to guess passwords. They're not 65 characters long. They're probably 20, 30 characters long, but they're random. I mean, it's what Safari would generate or 1Password would generate. So just.
So speaking of passwords and reusing. So for a while there, like on sites that I didn't really care anything about or have you know, any kind of credit cards tied to or whatever, I used the same password on lots of, you know, things. It was just, you know, super easy. And this was pre my 1Password days, right? So I recently got a spam/phishing email. When like LinkedIn got breached and Tumblr got breached and a bunch of those, you know, there were like password dumps, you know, out on the internet. So somebody has crafted this phishing email that you know, the subject is your password.
And we've seen you watching porn, and we have proof that you've been watching porn.
Yes.
Send us some Bitcoin. Where I work, we probably have 850 customers, and we host email for, you know, 90% of them. And we the day that all those started, our help desk just blew up with people saying, oh, somebody's gotten our password, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, of course, we just sort of have a scripted thing that we sort of developed in-house to say, no, et cetera, et cetera. Your password hasn't been leaked. You're okay. You know, but, yeah, it's I'm right there with you, Jason. You know, it'll freak you out. Sort of. And at the same time, you're like, that can't be right.
Let's see. So back to the Disney Plus thing for just a second. Did you guys watch The Mandalorian at all?
I have not. So
I have.
I've heard it's great. I just don't think I'm the target audience for that.
So I got to ask, you hate Marvel and you hate Star Wars. Why did you buy Disney Plus?
It was free, dude. So here's the thing. I don't hate Star Wars. I just like I don't need Star Wars.
He's just not a super fan. He's right. Not a fanboy.
So I think I'm caught up on all the Star Wars and I think the two offshoot movies. So it's not like I haven't seen them. I just didn't go see them in the movie theater. And on Marvel, like I like The Punisher that was on Netflix. But like what else is Marvel?
The entire MCU.
There's like 23 movies.
All 24 of those movies.
what movies did you say?
There's like 23 the MCU, or 24.
Which would be, you know, Avengers, Spider-Man, or not necessarily Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Iron Man.
I like Spider-Man.
Iron Man, Captain America.
Thor.
Doctor Strange, et cetera.
Hulk.
I mean, there's literally about 22, 24 movies that are all sort of the same stream of consciousness.
One big shared cinematic universe, something that has never been pulled
long,
off over.
One long, convoluted storyline.
11 years right, so, and 24 movies.
So I think I have seen most of the Spider-Mans and all of the Captain Americas, but none of the Avengers or Iron Mans or any of that stuff.
The last one beat Avatar as the most highest grossing movie of all time. How do you not at least see that one?
I heard Tony Stark dies.
Spoilers!
Well, it's too late to even claim spoilers. My rule is you've got 2 days to watch a TV episode, you've got 2 weeks to watch a movie, and then you're just on your own.
If you haven't seen the most popular, financially successful movie of all time, nearly, 7 months after it came out? 8 months? 9 months? I don't even remember. It was like April or something, so I don't have any sympathy for anybody. Too bad. But The Mandalorian's been awesome. I want to watch the Jeff Goldblum show. I haven't done that yet. And what else have I watched? Sorry, you're going to say something, Jason?
Yeah, so the only thing I've watched on Disney Plus so far has been Gordon Ramsay's Uncharted. I had no idea that he was such like an outdoorsy dude. Like, I would never have pegged him as, you know, rock climbing, mountain climbing, rappelling, snorkeling. I mean, like, he has done all sorts of, I think I'm 4 episodes deep. Like, he shot a mountain goat on the side of a mountain. And I was like, I just, it was totally, one, I was not expecting a Disney program to actually feature anybody with a firearm, much less killing an animal. So there was some clever editing in that you saw him kind of raise up the gun. You heard the gun go off. You never saw a dead animal until it was on the plate later that night.
So it's important to note that as part of the Fox purchase, Disney also got the National Geographic stuff as well. So one of my wife's favorite shows is now, I think there's 12 seasons that are on Disney Plus, which is Life Below Zero, which is a show that's set in Alaska about people that that are really the live off the land type. Like, they'll go out and spend all of their days hunting animals is what they do.
So you mean
it's not just Inuit people, or it's just people that live in, say, Alaska or whatever? Just
it's not indigenous in most cases. There's only one family that's on there that's indigenous. The rest of them are people that were from the continental U.S. that went up there. And, you know, one lady watches over this entire settlement that stores supplies and things. Another is this crazy dude from Vermont originally who goes up there, and he's like the nuttiest one of the group, who's, you know, just completely communing with nature constantly. And it seems like an exhausting way to live. Like, every single day is in the pursuit of the next meal that you're going to have, which I guess all of us do to some extent, but, you know, we can all go to Costco and stock up and then we're fine. Whereas, you know, he's out there trying to like kill a beaver or whatever. And then, you know, I don't know. It's nuts. Jason, you were going to say something.
Every meal you have involves murder.
Yes, of some sort.
So, years ago, I got suckered into one of those Alaska shows. I mean, fascinating stuff, right? But I think it was called like the Last Frontier or something like that, right? And it follows this family around, and like, they totally look like they're roughing it. And I mean, don't get me wrong, they are farmers. They do their foraging. They do a ton of fishing and hunting, and you know, they work their land and all that. But like, the perception that the show gives you is that, you know, if they don't catch these, salmon, you know, during spawning season, that they're going to go completely hungry over the winter. And like it really tugs at your heartstrings. And then come to find out, like, the daughter that they talk about who doesn't live with them, who's like the only family member that doesn't live with them, is Jewel. Freaking Jewel.
Yeah. Yeah, Jewel Culture is so we watched that show.
Multi-millionaire.
Yes.
All right. So great show. But come to find out, like, this massive, crazy compound that they've got is like 3 miles from the center of downtown of this like one local town. You're thinking like they're out in the middle of nowhere, and they're having to take these, you know, little puddle jumper planes. I'm like, get your ass in the car and drive 3 blocks over.
In fairness, a lot of people in Alaska do have the seaplanes because it's the most convenient way to get around. But I have watched that show extensively. So they don't really hide the fact that Jewel's been on the show. She even re-recorded the theme song or something. So, they don't really hide it. But it is a fascinating show. The patriarch of that family is a nut. Like, there was one where he had to move an outhouse. There was one where he was blowing up a stump. Like, this is stuff that I never would have watched this in a million years if my wife, you know, hadn't become obsessed with Alaska. But it's still an entertaining show, and they become absolutely more forthcoming about it. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I thought for a minute you were talking about another Alaska show that had some sort of weird flaky people.
Ice Road Truckers or whatever.
No, there was another terrible one whose name eludes me, where they had like a family and they were all very strange. They got popular for a while, but yeah, I've seen that Alaska, The Last Frontier show. That I think I own a lot of those seasons on iTunes as well. But yes, they own the National Geographic Disney stuff. The Disney Plus stuff does. So
while we're on Alaska, I got to go with one more show. There is some Alaska show that is about a gun range owner, not gun range, but like a gun shop owner who makes like custom. So like a 4570 is like an elephant gun, right? And this guy makes like 450 Magnum versions for hunting in Alaska. But it's kind of like a combo reality show, a little cheeky. You know, they do some fun projects, but it's kind of a funny show. I'll have to look it up. We can put it in the show notes.
Absolutely.
The bad teaser about The Mandalorian was, you know, the first episode came out on a Wednesday. The second episode came out on a Friday. And then I'm like, oh, great. You know, I'm going to get a couple episodes every week. And then you go look at the schedule and everyone's going to come out every Friday after that. It's just like, I have to wait an entire week.
They got to make sure you can't binge the whole thing in the free trial, because that's really the most compelling content they have right now. But right. I didn't even watch the second episode yet. I'm going to watch when episode 3 comes out, or maybe over Thanksgiving, something like that. Give myself some time for it to build up. Plus, there's so much other stuff to watch right now. Speaking of TV, you guys watch any of the Apple TV Plus content? And what do you think of that?
I have not yet. I haven't had. So I'm one of these guys that, like, I get suckered in. If I like something, I gotta just watch it to death, right? Like binge watch it. And so been so busy with work and you know, with play, that like I really want to watch the, you know, Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston show. Like, I think that's something I would probably like, but I haven't had 4 or 6 hours or however long it is to commit to it. Now, I recently finished Jack Ryan on like season 2 for Amazon, but that only took me like 2 days because it was, you know, 8 episodes. But so I haven't had that time commitment to you know, really get in and kind of enjoy anything on the Apple TV Plus yet.
So my wife and I have both watched The Morning Show and C on Apple TV Plus. I don't think we've watched any of their other, you know, exclusive shows. And, you know, the first week that it came out, they released the first 3 episodes, and then we had to wait another week to see episode 4. And C has been a lot better than I really expected it to be. Like, it really sucks you in. You know, the story really pulls you in. You think it's going to be kind of lame. It's like, everybody's blind. You know, well, I don't understand, you know, but it really pulls you in. It's really compelling. And then the morning show has been really great. It's kind of a weird take on, you know, the whole Me Too thing is like, you know, it's bad to be that sort of predator type male that preys on, you know, your underlings or preys on women. And it kind of is taking like a left shift off of, you know,
Steve Carell plays kind of a Matt Lauer type.
Yeah, right. And it just seems like it's trying to take another, I don't know, an alternate look on the guilty guy or something. And maybe I'm just seeing it wrong.
Yeah, I've watched some of The Morning Show. And again, it's because they're releasing one episode a week and I can't watch as much as I want. Like, sometimes my blocks of time are non-contiguous. So maybe I can squeeze in an episode here or there. But sometimes I get, you know, several hours where I could just watch something one right after the other. And if they're not all available, I'm much more likely to go and watch something where I can watch as much of it as I want. So I'm still working through Succession Season 2 on HBO and Silicon Valley and all that.
So that was another one. I recently finished Succession Season 2.
I'm about halfway.
It was really good.
Yeah. So
the ending was really, really good. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
I don't ruin it. So I've watched part of The Morning Show. I haven't watched C. Dickinson or For All Mankind yet, but I plan on watching those at some point. Dickinson was the only one that had all of the episodes available at launch. The rest of them have been one episode a week. But I've enjoyed what I've seen of The Morning Show. It's a little bit slow for my taste, but it's starting to pick up. I'm about halfway through. And I'm liking it. One of the things, I guess I could have watched these on the plane on the way back, but I know this is going to sound weird, but they're all, there's a thing that we have in the show notes that Apple TV Plus offers the highest quality 4K streams, averaging up to 29 megabits per second. So they look really good if you have a TV that's 4K with the HDR, you know, like Dolby Vision and whatnot. The sound is all Dolby Atmos. So I kind of want to watch them at home in that optimal setting rather than on my iPad on a plane. So that's what sort of kept me from binging them, just because I want the best possible experience. And if they have the highest quality streams, why not?
I'm really curious, though, to see what kind of bandwidth Disney Plus is putting out. Because, man, I'm telling you, the Gordon Ramsay Uncharted show. Now, granted, they got amazing cinematography. And, you know, they're like one of them was in the, I think, Peru, you know, jungle and forest. And, you know, like another one was in set in Hawaii. And so just the cinematography, but the like, it literally looks like you could kind of stick your hand through into the TV and touch the water, right? It's that good.
I noticed they have a lot of 4K and Ultra HD content, a lot of HDR stuff too. So I know on my 4K HDR TV with the Apple TV, all of the Marvel movies, including ones that were previously only available in HD, are all 4K Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. They remastered the 70s and 80s Star Wars so that they're all in 4K Ultra HD. So my experience has been great with it. Now, sometimes when I'm looking at things, now I did buy a Roku streaming stick. I had one before, the first generation, the older, slower one, but it was kind of clunky to use. So I splurged. Amazon had a deal, and I bought the 4K streaming stick to take with me when I travel, just so I have it. Now that you can put the Apple TV Plus app on it, you can have access to your entire iTunes collection from a Roku, which, or a Fire Stick or whatever. So it's, to me, that's like a portable Apple TV. So I thought, okay, this is worth it. I noticed I installed Disney Plus on there, obviously, because if I'm traveling, you know, and I want to watch it in a hotel or whatever, I could. And I would go to some of that Ultra HD content, and even though it's a 4K streaming stick, I didn't get any indication on screen visually like I did on the Apple TV that it supported it. So I don't know. They say that it does. There's in the FAQ, you can find which things stream 4K and which don't. But the quality has been really good on things. Like, go back and watch the original Star Wars movies in 4K, which the episode title this week is going to be McClunky, because in the Star Wars 1977 version, episode 4, Greedo yells that out before he gets shot. George Lucas strikes again, tinkering with the original movie. But other than that, it looks fantastic. And I think when we were talking on one of our Telegram channels for like the Mississippi guys, when we talked about that being out there, it's like, great, I can hit the torrents and actually get a 4K copy of Star Wars, which I'm sure that's probably out there on the internet now. It's probably been ripped already. So,
what does McClunky even mean?
No one knows. They suspect that if you go back to episode 1, remember when Anakin has the pod race with Sebulba? He says something that's very similar, which is supposed to be something in Huttese. God, I'm showing my nerd credentials. Supposed to be something like in Huttese, like you're going to die, you're going to lose, something like that. Something along those lines. I later found out from the time that we talked about it in Telegram. Allegedly, that's what it means. There's been no statement from Lucasfilm, but that's what we think. Why can't he just leave that scene alone, for God's sake? Just stop touching it.
Just let Han shoot first.
Yes. The justification is, oh, he's a hero, and heroes don't murder. No, he was a smuggler. He was supposed to be a rakish rogue.
He's a space pirate. Come on.
It was him or the other guy, and Greedo had to go. Good Lord. Funny that he doesn't even understand that. But anyway, I digress. Not much going on this week. Let's see. So there was a new 16-inch MacBook Pro that was announced last week, and the hardware has been changed so that the keyboard is gone. The hardware escape key is back in place. What do you guys make of the new MacBook Pro? And I'm surprised you haven't gotten one yet, Jason.
I just don't do enough home computing or mobile computing to justify one. I mean, I'm sitting here in front of an iMac Pro that I have barely ever pushed to its limits. And the few times that I have was like I deliberately did something to push it to its limits to see what it would do, right?
A benchmark program.
Yeah, exactly. I think the laptop is beautiful. The configuration that I want is reasonable. Like the day that it came out, I sent y'all the thing. I was like, man, you know, the way that I want it configured is $3,500, which is, I mean, that's a lot of money, but how often do we buy MacBook Pros?
Middle of the road for that particular laptop.
You can max that thing out to $6,000. Like, that's the, if you max everything out on that thing, it is $6,000.
And then like, I don't know, 45 minutes after I sent y'all that message on Telegram, somebody had it on sale $300 off. And I was like, crap, like I can get it for $3,200 right now. But, you know, timing stinks. Christmas is coming up and all that good stuff. So I'm already broke.
I mean, it's a sweet laptop. I mean, I've seen a lot of people talking on Twitter about, you know, being able to render these things, being able to pull off these, you know, high intensity computing jobs that they would have normally done on, say, an iMac Pro or even a Mac Pro, you know, and they're able to do it like just within a second's difference on this as they would on another, you know, high end machine. So, I mean, it's an impressive laptop.
The fact that you can get up to 8 terabytes of SSD. Now, granted, it's going to cost you $2,200, but that's a first, I think, for the MacBook Pros. Also, you can get up to 64 gigs of RAM, which I think previously, what were they, 32 maybe?
16.
Oh, my God. Wow. This shows you, first of all, how often I buy MacBook Pros. And wow, okay, that was a little bit on the low side. To be fair, because I know Jim was like, finally, we can take advantage of all the RAM. It's been my experience. I know I'm probably unique in this, but whenever I've had a Mac, yeah, I try to max out as much as I can. Or like on the iMac, I'll go in and buy the stuff from OWC and replace it myself and, you know, try to be a little bit fiscally responsible. But it's been my experience that I don't have memory constraints often on a Mac like I did on a Windows machine. I don't know if that's just by virtue of the fact that memory management is better on the BSD-based operating system, or like I've never been sitting here constantly swapping like I would normally see myself on a similarly configured Windows machine. I'm not saying there's not a use case for it. By all means, if you're buying a Pro, be able to Pro it out. But to me, I don't know. It wouldn't be worth what Apple would charge you to get the 64 gigs of RAM for my own particular use case. And that's as someone who uses Adobe Suite quite a lot. So,
yeah, the configuration that I had put together, that was like 3,500, ended up like it was, I think, 2 terabytes worth of SSD, 32 gigs of RAM, and then the 8 gig video card, right? So like, I felt like that was a laptop that could probably last me 5 years, and I would be, you know, pleased with it 5 years from now. But the problem is I've got a 2015 MacBook Pro that 4 years later I'm still pretty pleased with. So I just can't justify upgrading it yet.
That's sort of the same boat that I'm in. My my primary computer is my 2015 iMac that was fully maxed out when I bought it. And for my work computer, work provides me a MacBook Pro, and I had a 2014 for the longest time that I only recently got rid of and got a 2018. Another coworker had just gotten it and then he quit, so I took his MacBook Pro. And this is my first experience. Like, I don't ever use my laptop as a laptop, so the terrible keyboard doesn't really impact me. It's kind of rare that I actually type on it. When I do, I've really appreciated the touch bar a lot more than I thought I would. So having different things pop up based on the application that I'm using, I even sent you guys a screenshot on Telegram where I think it was in Safari. You could see I had a thing on the virtual touch bar that was the podcast. There our little icon was in the touch bar, which is kind of neat to me. I did miss having the physical escape key, so that would be something that the new model would be perfect for. What was my point of this? Oh, yes, I can keep MacBook Pros a really long time, and they can kind of suck for all I care. That as long as they're usable, it doesn't seem to impact me all that much. But I know we're on the outside of this. I'm sure there are people that live on theirs. I talked about on Twitter this week, I bought a new book arc because I always keep my clamshell closed. Keep your clamshell closed.
I think we've got a show title.
Oh, I wanted to use McClunky. Damn it. Aw. But keep your clamshell closed is pretty good too. But yeah, I needed one because my old book arc, the MacBook would flop around on that thing because they're so much smaller, even though they're the same screen size. Even a sleeve, a new insert would not have fixed that. So now the thing is so small, I can actually put it in my backpack and carry it between work and home, which is also nice. I had no real point in mentioning that. I just like my new MacBook Pro.
Accessories are fun.
Accessories are fun, and the things by 12 South are really nice. I tweeted about them, no flopping around, and they were nice enough to tweet back. So I like those folks a lot.
So going off script a little bit here, anybody have any Black Friday wish lists for next week?
See, I was going to ask you guys the same thing. That was my hopes.
I haven't even thought about it. I did pre-order 3 of the new Echo Flexes last week, and I got all 3 of them in today, and I hooked one up. I don't know if you've seen them. They're not much bigger than a, say, like a nightlight that you would buy at, say, Walmart and just plug into an outlet, you know, and stick in your hallway or whatever. They're very small. And the speaker is nothing to speak of. It doesn't sound like the new, you know, third generation Echo Dot. It doesn't sound that good. But, you know, I was thinking about putting one in my bathroom, you know, next to the sink. You know, I could interact with, you know, the Alexa while I was, you know, brushing my teeth or whatever. But, you know, they're so small and they're only $25. You know, you could literally put them all over your house.
Now, what's the new one that they just came out with the small screen? Like, I recently saw a video where she says, like, hey, show me my front door, which I thought was kind of cool.
Because it integrated sure. with Ring. They have a new one, too, called the Echo Studio that's supposed to compete with the HomePod. It's around the same size, and it looks very similar in shape and, you know, color, and you know, it looks like the gray HomePod, but I don't know about the one with the screen.
I just can't bring myself to buy Amazon devices for that purpose. I can't do it. Can't do it, man. Can't do it.
I've still got one Amazon device upstairs and one downstairs, solely for the Nest thermostat.
I have one on my desk, but it's hardware muted, so. Occasionally, I'll turn it on and play Jeopardy, but I never use it. I would sooner use my Google Home Mini before I would use the Echo, I think.
Speaking of Jeopardy, did you see the news this week?
I saw the guy from Gainesville, Georgia, who gave a shout-out to Alex Trebek and got him all choked up. But other than that, what news are you referring to, sir?
No, that's a good story. That was a very good story and very touching, and his, you know, motives for doing so. Like, I commend the guy. They are doing an ultimate champion of champion of champions tournament in primetime TV.
Oh.
In like the week of January 8th. I remember it's like on my birthday. It's January 8th. So anybody want to send me anything? Cool. No, just kidding. But so it's going to be Ken Jennings, the guy who is the all-time money winner. I don't remember his name. And then the most recent Holzhauer guy who just like went on the rampage recently. So the format is each day. So it's not going to be like a add up the totals or anything like that. And that's how much they win. First place wins $1 million. Second place, $250. Third place, $250. But what they're doing is it's first person to 3 wins.
Wow. That actually sounds very interesting. I think I'll have to make a point to watch that. Love me some Jeopardy.
If you're into music, there's a pretty cool Echo skill you can add called Beat the Intro. And it's one of those sort of trivia music games. It plays, you know, a section of music and you tell it to stop. And, you know, you can say the name of the song or the artist for 1 point. Or you can say the name of the artist and the song for 2 points, and it scores you with other people that are playing the game. And there's another way you can subscribe and get more games or whatever. I just play the free game every day, but it's fun.
There's one that I play on there that was a similar music trivia game where they'll name a song that starts with like A, and then you have to name one that starts with B, and then they name one with C. It's an old, you know, that old concept. But it's, you know, within this genre, name a pop song from the 80s that starts with a C, and then they'll do one with D, and then you do
E. That
would
be hard.
Oh, my God. I found myself when you get to, like, you know, J's or K's, I'm having a Google. Like, I can't let this beat me. So, there's a good one for that as well. So, was there anything else that we wanted to mention before we go? Oh, Black Friday deals. I have nothing that I want for nothing. I can't really think of anything that I would like. You know, if I were being completely extra, as the kids say, I would probably want to replace my perfectly functional, there's no good reason to replace it, LG TV with a later model, because why not? I think the one that I have is about 2,000, and I think on Black Friday it's like 1,700 or something like that. There's no way I'm doing that. That would be ridiculous. I'm not going to do it. My TV is fine. It's 2 years old. No reason to do that at all. I did see it, and there's a side of me that goes, gosh, I would like that. But I'm not going to do that because that would be silly.
I'll give you 800 for it.
It is an awesome TV. I mean, that the OLED, I don't regret going OLED. That thing is fan-freaking-tastic. It runs WebOS, which is a little weird. We talked about that on Telegram the other day. And, you know, LG was the one that ultimately ended up with WebOS after Palm got rid of it and HP got rid of it. And so it doesn't really do anything, but it's a damn sight faster than the Android OS on TVs that I couldn't abide. But yeah, it's kind of neat. There's nothing really, I've seen a lot of deals that pop up, but nothing that just really reaches out and grabs me. I have a Switch, I have a PlayStation 4, I have an Xbox One S or X or whatever. I don't really need anything. I can't even come up with a use case for something that I would need. Now there are some games maybe that I would look for, but usually the deals aren't that great for Black Friday. And most of the time, the stuff you're going to want goes on sale in the weeks ahead of Black Friday instead of on Black Friday itself. Like that's the stuff that usually gets my attention is the lead up stuff. By Black Friday, it's just whatever's left in my opinion. That's what seems to be the case.
And there's so many box stores now that will extend their Black Friday sales to, you know, an entire week after, or there's online stores that'll do it for an entire week after Black Friday. So it's almost moot that you even try to shop Black Friday deals being the day of Black Friday.
Nothing will beat last year and what Jason did for me. So for our listeners that may not be familiar, so last year on Black Friday, I had some leg surgery. I was healing up. I was pretty much bedridden for at least a couple of months. And I desperately wanted a PlayStation 4 to play Spider-Man, which is one of my all-time favorite games. I think I've gotten 94% of the achievements in that game. Like I'm just playing it all the way through again, going and doing all the obscure, stupid stuff on the hardest setting just so I get everything done. But I really wanted that. And I think it was normally $300. And I think on Black Friday last year, it was $200. So the week before Black Friday, it's $200. And I'm like, oh, God, I want this. And my wife's like, no. We have to get it from Kohl's. I'm like, what are you talking about? Kohl's where you go to buy cheap shirts and shorts and whatnot. Not PlayStations. She's like, no. They're having a Black Friday deal. You can get it for $200 plus $60 in Kohl cash. It'll be like $140 you paid for it. I'm like, there's no way. And I'm thinking, I need to get this ahead of time. And of course, it's selling out everywhere because it was a tremendous deal to get it for $100 off. So I messaged Jason. I'm like, oh, for the love of God, please, Jason, please go get this Spider-Man PlayStation 4. I'll break it to my wife after I stay up all night and don't get it from Kohl's that, oh, well, too bad. But I did get it over here. Psych, I got it. So we're good. Just so I didn't miss out on this deal. And of course, by the time Jason got it, he got like one of the last ones from Best Buy, I think it was. So I'm sitting up on Thanksgiving night watching Joe Bob Briggs on Shudder, and it's like 2 a.m. And I think Kohl's didn't put their stuff. Maybe it was 1 a.m, something like that. They didn't go live until midnight central, which I'm on the East Coast. So I'm sitting on their website and it's there. I'm like, wow, there it is. I got it. I put it in my cart, go to checkout. Boom, it's gone. I'm like, how the hell did that happen? So I'm like, oh, well, I guess I lost it. And it's like, you know what? Just to be a trooper, I'm going to keep trying. So I'm hitting refresh like over and over and over, over and over and over for like the next 45 minutes to an hour. I'm trying because it's like, you know what? I'm going to go. If I'm going to tell her that I went and actually did this secretly, then I need to at least give it the old college try. Get this thing done. So I'm sitting there. All of a sudden at 1:40 in the morning Eastern, it shows up in my cart. Boom. Hit checkout. Bam. Got it for, you know, whatever the ridiculously low price that they were offering. That was just a steal. I'm on Twitter and I'm seeing people, what did you have like 5 of them in stock? How dare you, sir? How dare you offer this as a promotion? You didn't have enough to cover this. And of course they didn't. But I'm like, I got it. I have 2 of them now. So Jason was a good sport to return the Best Buy one.
No.
What did you do with it?
I sold it for a profit a month later.
Nice. What'd you sell it for? Did you sell it for like $250 or something?
$275 because they were sold out everywhere.
They were sold out everywhere. That was the Spider-Man one. That was fantastic. I'm glad. Good on you, man. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, sir.
So I had to wait an extra because, you know, Kohl's ships it by like, you know, Pony Express or something. It takes forever to get there. I could have had it the same. I could have been eating turkey from my bedridden bed and playing Spider-Man on Thanksgiving night if I had just been able to use the one that Jason had. But no, she had to make me wait. It's like first week of December or whatever before I finally got my stupid. Okay, it wasn't quite that long, but you know, boohoo.
Well, no, it was because last year Thanksgiving was like no, it wasn't. This year Thanksgiving is late in the month.
Yeah, yeah. Because I thought Thanksgiving was going to be this week. Last week I was like, is that next week? And I looked at the calendar. I'm like, oh no. So we got a full another week. Then it'll be December practically 2 days later. So
As far as my Black Friday list goes, I wouldn't mind picking up another Yale lock if they put them on sale, the HomeKit enabled one. Like the front door is just, it's so stinking convenient that I think the back door would, again, I don't use it the back door that much, but it's one of those things, it would be nice for it to have it match. And then one of the other things that I want, shout out to Gazelle Tents, that's who I've been using for my camping tents, and their kind of claim to fame is that you can be out of the bag and completely stood up with the rain fly on and everything in under 90 seconds. And then same thing as far as tear down goes, right? Like pop the hubs back in, tears down, you're back in the bag and loaded up 90 seconds. Well, that same company makes a six-sided gazebo. And so what I want to have is one of those to take when we go camping as well. So that way we would have like this is our sleeping quarters kind of set up, and then have a separate gazebo where we could put, chairs and a table and all that. And it's got like, zip up mosquito netting and all that kind of stuff. So not really wanting for much. The other stuff that I was wanting, that all got scratched off the list today because the Mrs. Multiple times had sent me pictures of this yellow lab puppy from the same breeder that we got our chocolate lab puppy from. And so we are now the proud new owners of a yellow lab that we get to go pick up 2 days after Christmas.
Congrats. Mazel tov. Wonderful.
Thank you, sir.
More dogs is always a good thing. When I got the Roku streaming stick, like little things like that, I probably should have saved for Black Friday. Oh, there is one thing I want to mention. The HomeKit Secure Video came out this week as part of the, Apple promised it, and the, formerly Logitech, I guess now Logi or whatever they're calling themselves, the Circle 2 camera. I've had it for a couple years. Great camera, by the way. At an all-time low price of about $129 on Amazon as of today, when we're recording this on November 19th, subject to change, of course. According to what I saw on Reddit, it's been discontinued. So great. As soon as it gets HomeKit support, they discontinue it. Probably a Circle 3 is coming. Still a great camera. I would highly recommend it. I enabled it. So the weird thing about this, if you're curious, if you want to enable HomeKit Secure on any camera, you have to sever all connectivity to the previous service. So what that meant was putting a special firmware from Logitech on the camera. And it disables, it's removed from their proprietary thing. It severs, like the app no longer works for you. Their app to set it up, gone. If you want to undo it, you have to call Logitech and get them to push you a special firmware to be able to do it. So there's no going back easily once you convert over to this other new firmware. But once you do it, it is managed entirely from within the home app. So it's a nice thing because there's no, I thought it was going to have sort of dual citizenship. You know what I mean? Like it was going to have the Logitech support, and it was going to have the Apple support. But it makes sense if you want it to be truly secure, you're putting all of your eggs in Apple's basket. You're not, trusting them. You're not trusting Logitech and saying, okay, I want to subscribe to your thing. You can still do it. It still works if you want to use that firmware. But once you convert over to HomeKit Secure, that's it. So it's very difficult to go back. And of course, the week that it comes out, hey, discontinued. That's what they say. I don't know if that's true. That's just what what the word on the street, the word on the Reddit subreddit is saying. But if you want to get one, they are at a really good price on Amazon now. I like that camera a lot. It's wonderful. It's also weatherproof, so you can put it outside if you want to, which you can't say for a lot of the cameras that you get that are, cheap, whatever, home surveillance type things. This is. And out of all the cameras, I have the Amazon cameras and I have that one, and that one is A plus, man. It even has a mount for the window, so you can stick it to a window, point it out anywhere on the window that you want to, which is kind of nice. Anyway, on that note, I think that's all I have for this week. So if you guys have anything else.
I'm all set, as they say.
Fantastic. That's a show. So until next time, later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.